Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes podcast. Today we're sitting down with some really good friends of ours, Dale and Veronica Partridge. I feel like we say really good friends a lot.
They are really good friends.
They are like, really good friends.
Really good friends, though.
Yeah. So we did home church. Well, actually, let me rewind the clock a little bit.
If you read the book,
there's a story, and it's in A Creative Type of Love. I think that's chapter three, two or three. And we tell the story of Audrey wanting to give me a birthday gift, but she didn't want to do the typical, you know, item or thing. You know, she wanted to get me something unique and creative. And so she thought, I should try to give him a relationship. You didn't really think that, but like, I should give him a meeting with someone. And so she looked.
I wanted to introduce him to someone because I wanted to give him an experience of like meeting someone that he really looked up to and admired.
At the time, well, still, but at the time I looked up to this guy named Dale and followed him online and all his entrepreneurial ventures and whatnot and respected him. And Audrey knew that. So she threw.
We had a mutual friend who knew the Partridges. Yep. And he connected us to the Partridges.
And so Audrey set up a meeting.
Dale and I were messaging back and forth. And we actually lived in Los Angeles at the time and were driving to Bend to go hang out with my family for like one weekend home.
I thought we were going to go paragliding.
And I told you we were going paragliding when we actually like went, but we actually were just going to meet Dale.
Yeah. So we went to the lot, I think it was.
In Bend.
And we got beer and burgers. And
he shows up and Jer's thinking like, oh my gosh, this is a random coincidence.
Yeah, well, I'm
running
into
Dale Partridge.
I look up, I'm like, Dale Partridge? And he goes, hey, Jeremy, nice to meet you. And I look over at Audrey.
And he hands him a People Over Profit book signed and says, happy birthday.
And you yell surprise.
And then we talked until midnight at their house.
Yeah,
and hung out with them the next day. Or no, we drove home that night. But then we continued talking with them. Long story short, we ended up moving to Bend 3 months later.
Yeah. The Lord led us to Bend. And then we got connected into house church with them and a bunch of other families. And it was the most transformative.
Most growth we've experienced in the shortest amount of time.
Growth we've ever had. Yeah, it was fantastic, amazing. So we have Dale and Veronica on the podcast today, and they're gonna talk. They've had a rough year, and so they're going to get real and tell us what
has helped them.
Really,
through that
they're
year.
Gonna tell us how they survived.
Yeah,
and it's something that's I think can help in every single area of life, and mm-hmm. is part of what it actually means to follow Christ. So,
if you're going through a really hard trial right now, or a really hard suffering trial, sickness, illness, miscarriage, disease, kids, whatever, like this episode is definitely for you because they...
Even more so.
Yes.
It's to prepare for that.
Yep.
So let's dive into it. Our conversation with Dale and Veronica Partridge. All right. Dale and Veronica Partridge, friends, so good to have you on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us. Yeah, excited to be here.
Stoked to be here.
Of course. Hey, we got to see you guys not too long ago.
I know.
Just like last weekend, right?
Yeah. Time out to, we did a surprise trip. She didn't even know that she was coming to Portland until like
the
a few
morning.
Hours before. I'm like, hey, yeah. We're going to Jeremy and Audrey's party.
That's so good.
I was totally
finally,
surprised.
And finally, in a good way. He took you up here.
Yeah. And that's super intentional. I know it's like, we've tried to do this for so many years and then And then you guys finally pull it off in a very tough season of life.
Yeah.
With three kids.
Seriously.
Yeah, we needed it.
Good
we
move.
Needed it.
We
yeah,
needed it. Even that short 24 hours away was like so, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was so life-giving to me. I felt like I could come back and I was re-energized and ready to take on motherhood,
Momhood.
Wifehood,
yeah,
all of those things. So,
so
it was,
good.
It was very much needed and it was so good to see you guys.
That's a good move. That's a good move. Yeah, so for context, we had our book launch. Or not a launch, our book kind of...
It was supposed to be our book launch, but we are gone.
Yeah, we moved
the day
it to be
launched.
Just like a book celebration party after our book tour, and Dale and Veronica drove up from Bend. So with that being said, you guys, we kind of run in the same circles online, but for those that don't know you, tell us who you are, where you live, what you do.
Yeah, Dale and Veronica Partridge, we... I guess we run a ministry called relearnchurch.org.
You know, question for Dale is what doesn't he
what
do?
Don't I do? Yeah, is a better question.
Yeah, seriously.
I talk about faith and family on the internet, and just over the last couple of years, really been shifting that conversation to planting and establishing and discussing biblical church, what that looks like, house church planting. We do that as a ministry, along with some marriage ministry stuff on the side. And, we live in Bend, Oregon, been here for 5 years, been married for, we're in our 10th year of marriage right now, and
nice.
We got three little kids, and just really enjoying the season of life, even though it's been very difficult, that's, I'm an entrepreneur by trade in terms of just, that's my background has been entrepreneurship. That's how you and I met, Jeremy, is through my book, People Over Profit.
Yeah.
And just for the past 5 years, really shifted into pastoral ministry. I guess another thing that we do is that we do have a house church with about 12 families and a couple singles that meet at our home. And I do pastor that church. Mm-hmm. I also study biblical theology at Western Seminary. So there's a bunch of other things that are going on just to kind of give you a well-rounded picture of where we're
at. Yeah, I love it.
Cool.
And we've got we met you guys, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
About,
we actually tell
it's
that
so
story
so crazy
in the
to
book.
Me. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but yeah, I guess
I know. Yeah.
Because we met you guys way before, like still in the startup camp days and...
Well, just after, I guess a little bit after Sevenly and all that. But
I mean, we only had Aria when we met you.
Yep.
You guys were like working part-time and full-time jobs.
That's right.
Totally, yeah. Dude. Yeah,
living
that was
in LA.
That feels seriously. Like forever ago. That was before we were still doing the show and everything.
Yeah.
Cool.
So just for context for people that are listening that have read the book, we tell the story in the book about how friend of a friend
creatively
reached out.
Creatively loved me.
Basically like set up Jeremy and Dale to meet.
So Audrey wanted to give me a creative
gift. Because I know Jeremy really
gift,
looked up to Dale.
And instead of getting me a thing, she decided to get me a friendship. And she knew I was following Dale, looked up to Dale on the internet, and
5 years
scheduled
later.
A meeting. And then that's when we met.
5 years so, later,
and 5 years
really
later,
friends.
We're best friends. You're a mentor of mine and all the stuff. So it's fun.
I always tell people that you and I have a bromance. We're very much in just this, like, when you guys left Bend, I was, like, legitimately sad. Like,
he was, seriously depressed for...
Jeremy. Yeah.
It's okay, so are we.
For a couple months.
Yeah, I still am. That's a different conversation. So, back to you guys, though. Babe, you want to ask them about their love story?
Yeah, so we always like to ask people how you guys met. Tell us how you guys met. And just the quick version of your love story, catching us up to now. So how you met, how long it took you to get married, and then catch us up to 10 years in.
All right. Yeah, I can answer that question. I guess I can start off and then you can finish, babe. I technically met Dale when I was 14. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you were 19 or something like that. 15 and 19.
Whoa,
around
five
there.
Years.
And I'm 29 now. You're 34 now. And I met him through my sister, who Dale was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. So,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Dale dated my sister, and I was just, the annoying little tag-along sister. You guys broke up after like 5 months or something like that. I've always hung out with people older than me, and I went to school in the same city Dale grew up in and went to school in. So had a lot of mutual friends.
We didn't see each other for like 5 years.
Yeah, we didn't see each other for 5 years, but knew a lot of the same people. 5 years later, ran into each other. The first words out of Dale's mouth were, "Veronica, you're old and hot now."
I hadn't heard that.
That's really awkward, but thanks.
That's endearing.
Yeah. We were both dating other people at that time. I thought it was really interesting that I ran into him that day, though, because I was just talking about Dale a few days before with a guy that I was dating and telling him how I miss rock climbing. And I used to go rock climbing with Dale and my sister all the time when they were dating. And I told that to you when we ran into each other that day. And Dale's response was, that's crazy, because I'm here with the staff of my rock climbing gym that I just opened.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, you guys should come rock climbing. And I was like, okay, yeah. So we started rock climbing, got memberships. Eventually, the guy I was dating and I broke up, and I still kept going to the climbing gym. Eventually, he and the girl that he was dating broke up.
I was always there to spot her at the rock climbing gym.
Yeah.
So at that point, we were, I asked her to start a Bible study at the rock climbing gym with me. And, you know, I'm just being, you know, totally covert, trying to get her to
date me. You
guys
were both believers?
Yeah. And we had this conversation. It was really, really good. But I actually ended up telling her, I asked her on dates and dates and dates. She said, no, 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 it'd be too weird. You dated my sister. And then I actually just told her, I was like, I just told her that I was going to marry her before she even went on a date with me. And
oh, wow.
It was a total, like, looking back, retrospectively, it's a totally cocky move. But it could have been prophetic, right?
Yeah.
And so I finally got her to go on a date with me. We went on a date. We had a good time. I took her ice skating, classic. And it's funny, like,
so
I just posted maybe a year ago that we went ice skating again. And I was like, we haven't ice skated for 10 years since we first went.
Our first date.
And all these couples wrote me on Instagram, like, us too, that was our first date. We never went again.
that's so funny.
That's funny.
And so we dated for about 9 months, got engaged, and were married within a year of us dating.
Yeah, we started dating in February. We got married the following February.
Yeah.
And now we've been married. Like Dale said, we're in our 10th year, and we've got 3 little ones, 5 and under.
Yep.
Awesome.
So
guys, love that. So I kind of want to just dive in it. You guys have been through a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a really, really tough year. And, you know, maybe give us and our listeners a little bit of context on what I mean when I say that. But then I kind of want to just go into these trials. Like, what have these trials taught you about each other, about your marriage? So give us some context about this last year and kind of what's been going on.
Yeah, so a couple things. You know, I was in the business world and decided to sell my company because I felt like the Lord was calling us into ministry. And I tried selling it on my own. That didn't happen. I finally gave up trying to sell it on my own. And all of a sudden, I get an email from a guy. It says, hey, can I buy your company? Like, no kidding. And this guy buys my company for exactly what I was trying to sell it for. It was totally not of my strength. And it was just totally a God thing. And then all of a sudden, I get the CEO of probably the largest conservative media outlet in the world write me and said, hey, Dale, I want to buy your company. I'm like, dude, I just sold the company. This is crazy. And he says to me, he says, you know, well, I want to buy it from the guy that you sold it to. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, okay, I connected them and he came back to me and he said, hey, you know what, Dale, actually, I want to buy it only if you come with it. And I thought, all right, this is totally out of left field, God. You just sold the company, clearly went to go into ministry, and then I get this giant opportunity. And the guy offered me $1 million a year for a 2-year contract.
Yeah,
and I'm going.
I remember
this
that.
Yeah, it was a wild, like, what? This is crazy. And it was all the people that I kind of wanted to be a part of for many years.
Yeah,
and
the
I was
crew,
like
in the circle.
Yeah, I was like invited to the cool kid table, and
yeah,
I paced around my room and my house, and I was talking to Veronica, and I was like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do here,
dude? Stressful.
So stressful. And they had a ticket spot for me to come down to LA and spend some time. Anyways, I flip open my Bible in the middle of this prayer and I slam my finger down after asking God for a word. And I put my finger on a verse in 1 Corinthians that says, you are already full, you are already rich.
Wow.
And I just like lost it. I was like, okay, this is it, Lord. Like, you want me to just turn this opportunity down and go into ministry. So a couple weeks later, we go into ministry. January 2017, 18. Yeah, January 2018. Mm-hmm. We go into full-time ministry. We start a apologetics program at our house. And all of a sudden, boom, the same week we go into ministry, all of a sudden illness just comes into our house. And we just have so many different things hit us. We had a flu for 21 days. We had RSV, which is a respiratory illness for kids. We had several, you know, colds and coughs, stomach flus. My Dude. Son, Honor, was diagnosed with asthma. I got skin cancer. My wife got bit by a tick and got Lyme disease and Babesia and Bartonella. Our son almost drowned in a pool. We had a miscarriage. I had kidney stones. The kids started choking on food. I got gastritis. Veronica had all these flare-ups. I mean, it was just nuts.
Hearing you list that out,
through the ringer. I mean,
that's not even half. That's like how the list goes on.
Okay, keep going.
But I mean, that's just a sample of what we went through just this last year. And even you know, even before that, our daughter had to have surgery, and Dale's mom passed away, and Dale cut his leg up with a chainsaw, and just like, it's just been a crazy last couple of years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this the trials were heavy, and in the middle of all this, we planted a church. And we were running ministry, and we started our podcast, which is called Real Christianity. And and so it was so fascinating, because the weakest we've ever been is the ministry was the strongest it had ever been.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had so much growth in ministry in our weakness. Mm-hmm. It was exactly the opposite story that I would write if I could write it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that would make sense.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Like it's the exact opposite of what would make sense.
So it was just a big lesson of a variety of things. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about, how did it affect our marriage? And, and so there's just so much of it. But that gives you the context of, man, we've just been under it for a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're still under it.
Still under
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems as though things have eased up a bit, but it's unfortunate with this last year. It's like, we're afraid to schedule anything, or like, I wanted to sign the kids up for swimming lessons. And I was like, well, I really don't know what life's going to look like in, 3-4 weeks from now. So I'm not going to sign them up yet, because who knows what's going to be happening.
Mm. Yeah. Yesterday was probably the first day in almost a year that I had a full day, like where I like operated as I did
a full day,
you know, a year and a half ago.
Wow,
so like that's how recent it is in terms of just, you know, feeling a little bit better.
Well, praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So as you're kind of, you know, peeling back the fabric, seeing the light through the at the end of the tunnel, you know, what's, you know, looking back, what do you think, what's kind of the big lesson that you think you guys have been wrestling with through all this? What has the Lord been trying to teach you before we get into marriage stuff? Just curious.
Man, I mean, it's a big
question.
Like
it sounds like a humbling.
I mean,
that's definitely a part of it, for sure.
Yeah, I'll give you just kind of my thoughts, and you know, I don't want to talk too much so Veronica gets some time to talk. But I learned that we can't control what happens to us, but we can control what happens in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that we had conditional joy and peace.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, so the question is, if we can only have joy and peace in certain circumstances, we're always going to be at the will of potential reality.
Yes.
Yeah. So good.
And how do we have an unshakable joy and an unshakable peace that the scriptures talk about? Like, how do we get to the place where Paul lives? Like, regardless of where Paul is, whether he's sitting with brothers and sisters in at a dinner in Corinth, or his back is ribboned open at the bottom of a prison floor in Rome, he's singing hymns to the Lord. And like the thing is I actually remember, you know, when I was going through the sickness and like a lot of unanswered questions and trying to figure out what was going on, I remember thinking about the vast difference between the singing of the song, Good, Good Father, we're singing at church, you know, the difference between singing that song at church on Sunday and singing that song in a hospital room on your hospice bed days from dying. There's a difference there to be able to say Good, Good Father in the midst of death.
Yeah. That's unconditional joy.
And so you get to a point where you really start to evaluate if the scriptures that you say you believe are actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start to look at like, okay, do I really believe these things? Like, you know, and you actually have to make this faith very real.
Totally.
And you start looking at the alternatives. Like, you just go like, well, what is the alternative? And you start to understand what Peter said to Jesus in John 8. He says, like, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we've come to believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Like, he's like, where else are we going to go? And and you get to that same spot, you just go, well, there's nowhere else to go. Like, but just straight to the arms of Christ. And so there was a journey there. We came to a solution of, I think the Lord brought us. I mean, man, I feel like I cried like 50 times last year. And just growing. But I think the main solution that came out of the whole thing for us is this idea of abiding in the Word and abiding in Christ and resting in Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these scriptures that you hear, Jeremy, like, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and sound mind, love and a sound mind, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, you know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. These scriptures are really easy to preach and to talk about.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're incredibly difficult to actually abide in.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're in a season of suffering and trials.
Yeah.
So the
I remember, it's consider it all joy, brothers, when you face many trials. Like, that scripture forever, ever since, I mean, you guys have been through the ringer, but just even from my short past of being really sick in college and all that, like, that scripture was so hard for me to swallow. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, you know, being raised in the church, like, always, oh yeah, yes and amen to it, you know, my whole life. But then when, like, really I was in, like, one of the darkest times of my life.
When it was tested.
Yeah, it's just, you know, count it all joy. I mean, that's hard when you're going through some of the things that you guys listed out.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, we when we get here, you have to realize that James isn't saying just be joyful in crappy times.
Yeah.
He's saying actually count them joy because the gospel is true. And the joy that overflows from the gospel is so much overflow that it'll cover anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so you can be joyful in anything, regardless of the circumstances, because the gospel is true. And and so that piece among this idea of, like, abiding in the Word, like, really, where it says be anxious for nothing, how many things do we get to be anxious for? Nothing.
Yeah.
And so you just go, oh, I'm actually going to abide in that. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be anxious. And so this idea of abiding and resting in God's promises was, I think, the real big lesson of going, man, like, I'm actually going to really abide and I'm really going to rest. I'm really going to sit in these words of truth.
Well, that's a fantastic answer. And that was actually, Audrey,
abide was my word for 2019,
word for this year.
Which is, like, so, you know, just, we've had the craziest year ever in a very different way, but just abide is so counter to, like, the life that, you know, on paper we look like we're living. Like, just the busyness and the crazy and the travel and the projects and the workload. Like, I felt like the Lord at the beginning of the year was just like, you know, you're going to have a crazy year, and this is the reminder that you need more than anything is, like, abide. Time with me is the most important thing, and abiding in me, doing nothing and just being outside of your accomplishments and the things that you think that you're doing, like, just literally being nothing, but just coming to, like, the feet of Jesus. And so I love that, especially resonates with me on a personal level, but I'm curious for you guys, like, just how, you know, obviously, like, Veronica, Dale, with your health stuff, you had lots of health stuff, but, like, Veronica, just with miscarriage and Lyme's and fighting that while also having three little kids to take care of and be strong for, and then also wanting to have a healthy marriage. Like, how do you guys serve each other well through those times of hardship? Because I feel like that, you know, just, I feel like you guys have kind of had to be in this serving mode of each other, like, taking care of each other. You guys have just been taking care of each other, right? I mean, it seems like, from the outside looking in, that, like, you've really got to practice serving each other. And so I'm curious if that's been something for you guys. Like, are there little ways that you've learned to serve each other? Like, just little simple things that you've learned to do that, you know, amidst all this hardship, like, ways that you've learned to serve each other, or how has servanthood played out in your marriage?
So yeah, I would say naturally in my flesh, I'm not like a woman that is naturally super nurturing or I'm just not that way. But that is a part of what I'm called to do. And so when I have three little children and they see that dad is not feeling well and he is in bed, the main thing that I try and remind myself is to step out of myself, to look at the bigger picture and realize that I am displaying and showing my children how to react and serve in circumstances that are not ideal. And, you know, when you're under trials and stress and pain and suffering, whatever it is, you really, your true character really comes out in those moments. And so for me, it's actually in certain moments highlighted, wow, I really need to grow here. I really need to step up my game. What am I teaching my children right now when I am speaking this way or treating Dale this way? And it's making me, you know, constantly going back to the word and going back to praying and reminding myself that I'm discipling my children. So that has been a huge motivator for me to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the desires of my flesh and honor my husband and serve my husband when he's not feeling well. And the same has been the opposite, I'm sure, for Dale, where when I'm sick and I'm in bed, Dale is way better at caring and nurturing me. And it's been really a testament of his faithfulness towards me and towards the Lord. And, you know, it's, I have a husband who loves me like he loves his own body, as it says in Ephesians 5:28. You know, when I found out that I have Lyme disease several months ago, I was emotional about it, obviously. I was upset, but I was almost like afraid to research because it was, I knew it would just scare me more.
Yeah.
Where Dale just went into total like doctor mode. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to learn everything I possibly can about Lyme disease. And he has taken so much better care of me than I've taken care of myself.
That's
I can take
amazing.
Care of my people, but I'm not as good at taking care of myself. And so he's really stepped up in that way. I mean, you've always been that way. I don't want to say stepped up, but you, you really did just take that on.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey friends, taking a quick break from this episode to tell you guys about something that Jeremy and I don't talk too much about, but is actually a huge part of our lives, and that is Young Living and essential oils. And I have been using essential oils and just healthy, non-toxic products for about 4 years now, but really dove into it when I got pregnant with Ember and actually started dabbling in the business side of Young Living as well. And it's just been such a blessing to our family, obviously these products to our health and wellness, but also the financial aspect of the business side of Young Living has been such a financial blessing, not only to our family, but to thousands of families that are on our teams. And so it's just been such a cool thing to be able to be a part of, and I'm so grateful for it. So if it's something that you are interested in, whether it be the product side of Young Living or the business side of Young Living, you can check out my Instagram account. It's called More Than Oils. You can DM me over there if you got any questions. I would love to connect with you and tell you more about this opportunity as well as just about these products and how they can benefit your life.
Speaking of like, you know, stepping up or always been that way, I feel like not everyone would react, I guess, the way you guys have been. I know you guys are learning a lot and you're looking at it kind of from a, you know, hindsight perspective now. I know you're still in some trials, but you've definitely learned a lot through these. But not everyone would have reacted that way, right?
Yeah.
Or pressed in the way you guys pressed in with like biblical direction, wisdom, and inspiration.
Or just been aware of like Veronica, aware. You being aware of the fact like what I'm doing right now is affecting how my kids are going to, you know, just.
So that's an interesting segue to something that we have a personal experience with. We know has been huge for you guys, and I believe will be very, very helpful for anyone listening. And that is the role of, well, first of all, home church in general, but just the role of mentorship, you know, people's community, people being around you, surrounding you, and ultimately iron sharpening iron as we all press into discipleship of Jesus. So like, how's that looked for you guys? How have you been prepared? If someone were to prepare themselves for trials, how might they do that?
Yeah, I'll start and then I'll pass it off to Veronica. I think, you know, building a biblical foundation is what really kept us from drowning in this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, any couple can weather smooth seas, but it's only skilled sailors who are not swallowed up in the storms. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to learn how to navigate a storm in a storm.
Yeah.
Okay. Like yeah. You don't want to learn
unless
there.
You are Jesus.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so we, you know, we spent a lot of time establishing, by the Lord's grace, establishing, I think, firm biblical understanding of our roles, being mature. We did actually not know a lot about suffering until we were in it. I feel like now we know a lot of, I've read several books on suffering now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would actually say that we have, I mean, in our, we've, you know, in our 9.5 years of being married, we actually have walked through a lot of trials, even not, you know, outside of just this last year and a half. We've lost companies and Dale's mom passed away and things like that. And so I feel like those were like prefaces, or I don't know what the word is.
Training.
But yeah, training grounds, boot camp for the real trials of what we've been facing. And who knows, even this season that we're walking through is preparing us for something more in the future. But we had walked and had experiences before walking through trials and, you know, having our faith really be put to the test this last year has been really good for us.
Yeah. And I think, Jeremy, one thing that I want to add to this and what Veronica's pointing here is that, you know, God never intended us, his church, to be alone. I mean, the expression is that we are unified as a body.
Amen.
Proverbs 18:1 says that a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. And so isolation, which is pretty much, you know, many Christians, while they might think that they're in community, are actually quite isolated because we've turned, you know, the church is turned into, instead of participatory Christianity, it's really audience Christianity.
Yeah.
And so they show up, they watch a sermon. It's very consumer centric, not contributor centric. And so they've been trained to just consume. Well, they realize the bankruptcy of that because eventually they go, wow, I've got lots of information, but I don't have any relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or and I've been going to church for 12 years and still can't teach.
Exactly.
Not that everyone's a teacher,
so
but
there's
I
all
still
these
don't
layers
know
of this.
Yeah.
But they end up going home is what happens. They end up going home and they stop coming. They only come to church if it's convenient. If, you know, everybody got 8 hours of sleep and no one's sick, like we'll be there. But they stop coming because they realize like the only value that you get there is the information. And they go, well, I'm just going to listen to the simulcast or the podcast. And you become isolated. And, you know, we have to remember that Satan is a patient incrementalist and he's all about the slow fade. Mm-hmm. And so
that's good.
He'll pull you out of the church and then all of a sudden you're disconnected. And just like a wolf separates the weak link, you know, from the back, is that you start falling away. And I always talk about this is like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's like you fall 0.65 centimeters per year. And he doesn't care if you fall when you're 30 or when you're 80, as long as you fall. Mm. And so I think that's what's happening with a lot of these people. They become isolated and isolated. And for us, we've just had so much rich biblical community and relationships. I mean, babe, how many people came and served us for the last year?
Yeah, I mean, I can't count.
Like,
I mean, and several people repeatedly bringing us
like
meals,
dozens
or buying
and dozens.
Us a humidifier, whatever it is.
Chopping wood for us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow.
And thankfully, we had that community before these trials hit. So that way when they did come,
so
they were ready to step in. And we've been able to be there for them in their trials too, at times as well.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And it's cool to hear you say that because, I mean, we were a part of that community for 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
And we miss it something terrible. So that's really cool to hear. So know your Bible.
Yeah.
Just kind of the first thing, right? Like biblical, like if trials are gonna come,
prepare yourself ahead of time. before they, yeah, before they come, the because right it says when you face trials, not if right. you face trials.
Yeah, 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 right. Like when you go through the storm, it says, mm-hmm. scripture tells us like it's going to happen. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
find the community before. And
because I feel like you guys have a really healthy perspective and you have to have a healthy perspective so you grow in the right direction, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I mean, we learned like our marriage actually did really well. Like looking through this, I thought, man, if we didn't have the truth of God written on our hearts deeply mm-hmm. and we didn't have community that was one inch wide and 10 feet deep.
Yeah.
You know, this small, intimate, deeply connected community. If we didn't have those things, we probably would have fell apart. I mean, we actually mm-hmm. thought like yeah. prior to these trials, we would maybe fight like once a year. Hmm. You know, we get in a tiff, you know, once a year. We had a few more in these sets of trials because of the circumstances. But we generally were just pretty good. I mean, even in the midst of us being down, we weren't fighting. We were working through it. And
yeah, mm-hmm. this has probably been the, you know, 2018 has probably been the hardest year on our marriage. And yeah, because we had that strong foundation, it didn't rock us. It was mm-hmm. just like, okay, like this is really hard. We're going to get through this. We're here together. How can I help you? And vice versa. Where if this would have happened in year one or two, it would have been way harder
to our marriage. Yeah.
Because we didn't have that solid foundation. We were believers, but we were not mature biblically.
I got to the point, yeah. guys, and I don't know if Veronica did, but I got to the point where the trials started to go away and I was starting to see the real value of the work that the Lord was doing in me through the trials mm-hmm. and was okay if I had to walk further.
Wow.
And that was the point of like, really, I feel like the Lord going, you know, there's that quote that is in our community that you guys have heard, God has more to do in you than through you.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. Yeah.
And I really started like, who would have thought that pain and suffering would bring new levels of yep. freedom?
Right. And that's like true surrender that you just like, okay, Lord, you know.
Well, that's such a God thing. That's so going. God's way.
Yeah.
It is like to I was literally going, okay, like I actually see I've become a better man and Veronica's yeah. become a better woman. Now, like the last thing God wants for us is like, keep throwing the trials at us, you know, enemy, like we're ready for them, you know, like that's not what we want.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the posture that he wants. But I could understand of going, mm-hmm. Lord, these things are making me more like you.
So that's so good. And how would someone go about, you know, if these are the two things that have helped you guys the most and you guys have gone through some of the hardest struggles collectively, like of anyone we know, how would someone go about finding that or preparing in that way with, you know, knowing their Bible or having the healthy perspective rather and finding community that is maybe an inch wide, mile deep, you know, because that's a hard thing to do, especially in today's world of individualism. You know, we worship the ability to do what we want, when we want. It seems like everything we do, see, feel, touch, and read is pointing us in the opposite direction. So how do we, I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
It's really difficult. It's actually the problem that I think we're trying to solve as a couple is relearnchurch.org is really this mission of going, How do we help other people establish what we have here? Mm-hmm. A biblical community. You know, there's over 100 one another's in scripture in the New Testament.
Yep.
And most Christians never have any of them fulfilled in their life. And the first thing I think I would tell people is that only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible.
Mm. Yeah, which
and
is
so I just go
pretty wild.
It's amazing that we have the words of life. There's actually a video that I saw Paul Washer post on Twitter, and it showed a video of all these young adults in China, and this company dropped a box, like a crate of Bibles in the middle of the room, and a crowd of like maybe 300-400 Chinese Christians ran at this crate to grab these Bibles
as if it was their last meal.
It was their last meal, like boom, and just pull these Bibles out. And I'm like, wow, I have like, you know, three or four Bibles sitting around my house. And
yeah.
Do we really have the desire for God's word? Yeah. Is it actually like food and drink mm-hmm. to our soul? Mm-hmm. And so I just say, you got to start there and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you according to his word and his ways.
Love that. That's a great.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great way to phrase that. And then community, you know, that, I mean, that is I feel like a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, relationships take time. And that's kind of the point of the whole first half of our book is just this idea that like, hey, anything worth having doesn't happen overnight, doesn't happen like Instagram. It often doesn't look like Instagram, but it's a process, you know, so community takes patience for sure, but sometimes you fall into it and it's beautiful.
Was there anything that the community did or said to you guys in the past year that was like just especially impactful?
I can think of one, but it wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it was something small. I don't think it was like anything crazy out of the box, but it just really meant a lot to us and to me. Was with our when we were having our miscarriage, I was worried about still needing to be mom to three little kids while I was miscarrying, and so having a friend step in and say, "Hey, like, let me just take your kids for the day," so that way you can be in bed and rest and do what your body has to do. And so we sent the boys with grandma and grandpa, and our daughter went with a friend of ours, and the kids were gone all day. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice to not have to worry about that while I was going through this other process.
Yeah.
It just meant a lot to me.
And there were so many moments of truth that the Lord had done. I mean, there's books that were given to us that, one book that was given to us that I read, and I started crying three pages in because not that it was the greatest book in the world, but that it met me exactly where I was at. And I feel like that's what the Lord was doing in that moment.
What was the book?
They found the secret. Yeah, there we go. It sounds like it could be like a heretical book, but it's a book. It's a book actually from the 1950s about 20 saints of times past, like 1800s and back, and their struggles and trials of breaking through into like a real relationship with Christ. Dude. And it's just beautifully written. It's got a slight Pentecostal bent, which is not generally my theology track, but I really appreciated it and enjoyed it. It was what I needed at the time.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, Jeremy, to that question is that I think that what we've learned about community is there's so much safety in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many people, it's so dangerous to be alone. We've had so many couples over the years that you think that you're in community, you're in friendship, you're not in fellowship, but you're in friendship mm-hmm. with these people. And all of a sudden they come up to you and they say, guys, we're getting a divorce. And you're like, we had no idea.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, you revealed how close you really were, which is not close at all. And this happens quite often around the country and especially in the Western church. But we're in a community with people who have permission to hold us accountable to all of our errors. I mean, I don't know if you want to explain, babe, just the things over the years we've been corrected in, and that we just enjoy those corrections.
It's a loving correction. It's not to condemn you and to make you shameful of yourself. It's hey, I love you and you're walking this way, and that's against what the scripture says. And you know, it's the iron sharpening iron. It's spurring one another on.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
And that is by and large a lot of what it means. Biblically, church, like the definition of church. And that's kind of why I think we're in such a mess right now, is because the environment of church does not provide. Sure, there might be small pockets here and there, and some churches are doing it really, really well. But by and large, they're that type of correction and community is really difficult to achieve.
Well, you can't create what you haven't experienced. Or you haven't seen. We can't sell tickets to a show that we've never been to.
Yeah.
And so this is the dilemma, is that, this is why we're actually having people from you know, all over the country, like, move here actually and just be a part of community, because they're trying to figure out, we want to know what this is. And it, all it is just biblical church.
Or they've tried it where they currently live and just it wasn't working. And they're trying and trying and trying and trying, and they just can't find other believers who are willing to walk this road with them.
It is. And yeah. That's why, like, church planting training is critical, because, you know, Paul had church planting training. Jesus didn't just get his 12 disciples together like a month in and say, okay, you go out and do your thing. He walked for 3 years with these people before
Went
out. And so, you know, I think there's a value of just going, if you want to learn something, go get trained.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're really trying to do, is help train people to establish biblical
community.
That's
a lot of what Relearn is, right?
Yeah.
It is. And it's just, it's a whole thing about, that, and just really understanding what is real Christianity. Like, what does it actually look like when you abide to the word?
I mean, it's so interesting, because you would probably say that you're the strongest in your faith right now than as you ever have been?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that is at the tail end of biblical community that often stings very hard, you know, and trials. And it's kind of interesting that, like, that's, you know, I mean, even Jesus fulfilled what he was supposed to do, you know, through both of those. But Paul talked so much about trials and everything. And America, going back to, like, the environment that's being created, America does not create a space where we do any of that.
Yeah. No, like, it's so true. And this idea of just, I mean,
pain,
Veronica,
and suffering is like alien language.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the specific strikes of, you know, a miscarriage, for example, or a death, or, you know, there's very specific things, but by and large, as like a culture and a country, you know, like, we don't suffer for the gospel. We don't need to.
Well, we've actually eliminated physical pain with every drug on the possible market. You know, like, we are totally good at that. I mean, I just want to, like, Veronica's perspective on, you know, who were we before biblical community and who are we now? In terms of just the vast difference of what being in real, rich, vibrant, committed community can do to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it really accelerated our growth. That's for sure.
Us
too.
Us too.
It accelerated our growth. It's constantly pointing us back to Scripture. What does Scripture say? You know, pointing us into our biblical roles as husband and wife. And, you know, you fix that in a marriage, that fixes a lot of things alone. And that's just one area. But your priorities have shifted.
Veronica knows how to be a mother, in terms of, like, today you have a baby and you, like, you're just expected to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not so this true, like, communal thing where mom passed down to daughter and grandma was around and aunts and friends and cousins. Like, that doesn't exist for most people. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you more reason to not want kids. And so when you're around,
because, like, isn't this, you know, when we're told to look different than the world, isn't this kind of what that is talking about?
Yeah. I mean, the word holy means to be separate. And I always talk about the Israelites. Like, God says, hey, you Israelites, eat different.
Yeah.
Work different.
You are different.
Dress different. Pray different. Like, live different. And you just look completely different.
Yeah.
And then the New Testament says, be holy as I'm holy. So it's like, if we don't look super peculiar to the culture, we have a problem. And ultimately, right now, like, the church actually looks more like the culture than the culture does look like the church. And so,
we're the ones assimilating.
Yeah. And evangelism is really a reactionary work in the Scriptures. In terms of, like, you know, 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you in meekness and fear. It's this idea that be ready, because you're so holy and so different.
People,
someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, like, what's up with your life?
I love
it's
that.
It's so cool. And how did you withstand that trial and not break down?
Yeah. There's like a strength. There's a total strength to it. And I mean, that's the high priestly prayer, right? John 17?
17, yeah.
Yeah, John 17. He says,
being unified there.
Yeah, the dinner. Be one.
But again,
as
unity,
I am one.
Like, same, being one, community, going back to, like, And the one another is like all then, of that matters.
Yeah, then the community going just straight back to the community and then straight through your guys' strength through all these trials. I mean, it really is. It is, it's the backbone, I think, of our strength.
Amen. Yeah. So it's just, it's been a great season of growth, a hard season of physical pain. But I feel, yeah,
and
like
I think
our marriage is
this is
made
just,
it through.
I think it's really cool to see you, that you guys, and this is really like more of an observation than a question, but just that the Lord has given you both trials to walk through. Different trials, but to walk through and care for each other and serve each other in at the same time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that you both can understand each other's suffering to some extent, that you both were able to like empathize with each other in that time. And I'm not saying like, obviously double
great.
The suffering is not
that.
Good, but like just that, you know, I'm thinking back to like,
there.
Yeah, thinking back to like my our story, which is very different, but like just with my suffering and being sick, Jeremy could not connect to that or relate to that. And I felt, it felt so hard for me to share it. I didn't want to be a burden or high maintenance or ask for help. But it's kind of beautiful that we've got to see you guys like just serve and love each other through that because you can so understand each other in it. And then at the same time, step into ministry together. Like, because you guys are like before, like you guys were kind of just, you know, doing separate things. Dale was doing all the business stuff, Veronica rocking the mom thing. And then now like, it's almost like the Lord is like bringing you guys together more and more in hard things and in beautiful, growing good things, in starting a church together, in starting a ministry and a podcast together, in the trials, in parenthood, you know, it's just cool to see you guys like, I feel like the Lord is just like bringing you more together. That sounds so cheesy.
No, but that's like, amazing. You know. Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting too, because yeah, we are, you know, simultaneously going through these trials at the same time, you know, season wise, but we actually haven't had a day where you were down and I was down at the same time. Wow. So I was been like, oh, I'm better. I can take care of you on the day that Dale doesn't feel good. And then the next day I all of a sudden don't feel good and he's feeling great. It has been really interesting the way it's worked out.
It's definitely been a blessing.
Well, praise
the Lord
for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to ask you guys a question about how you're protecting your marriage, but it's probably community.
And the Bible.
Yeah, I mean,
isn't there
definitely
a lot of protection found in...
But are there any things that you guys, like, you know, we talk a lot about just in general rhythms and boundaries and things. Are there any like unique rhythms or boundaries or things that you guys have for your marriage that are protection measures for your marriage?
Yeah. I mean, so obviously community is a huge, huge one for us. Some, you know, practical ones is we do family Bible time every single day. We do that with our kids. I'm present. Dad leads that out. We do that every day as a family. And then another, you know, easy practical one that we do is we've just made the decision to never be alone with the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Love that one. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's super easy, simple. And so we've chosen. Do you have anything else?
Yeah. I mean, I think that just, we are always on guard. There's people that have much stronger marriages than us that know the word more than us that have fallen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you got to remember
that. We're never immune.
Yeah, you're never immune. And so we put up all these boundaries to protect each other.
We're also very open and honest with each other. Even if there was like zero temptation on my side or anything, I'll tell Dale like, hey, this guy was flirting with me and he at this store and just letting you know, like,
Yeah,
overly honest.
It's just, yeah, we're like super open about that kind of stuff. And there was something else that I wanted to say, but I forgot. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just think that, yeah, just being really proactive. I think this is the man's role here to lead this out, to model it, of just showing, you know, being on guard all the time. Because, yeah, the enemy's out there and it's a slow fade. Yeah, it's a slow fade. It's you know, people don't fall in a day. They fall over long periods of time, and that's why it's all about leadership. And as the husband can lead his family closer to the cross.
Yes, and falling is never is rarely the result of a single direct choice. It's always the result of many indirect choices.
Exactly.
Right. It's like, it's that buildup. So, I like the idea of being overly honest, and we have the same rule of like, you know, sure. Like there's work things where you got to hang out with someone with opposite sex or whatever. But as far as like a repetitive habitual, you know, thing,
you're not going to have a running partner that's just of the opposite sex. And every day or every couple times a day, you're going and running with this person, you know? Yeah. There's so many things that you got to be careful with on those. Yeah.
And then just to bring back to what we've been, I know we're running out of time here, but just to bring it back to the conversation that we have been having, community would call you out on that, right?
Oh yeah.
Like if someone started,
for sure.
I mean, you guys have so much safety there. I mean, we do too. We have you guys, right? Cause we spent 3 years and we call you guys family still, but, you know, even here in Portland, 3 hours away, we've got a group of people that we're building a close, nice, you know, beautiful relationship with, and they would call us out if they saw or noticed anything just off.
In a loving approach.
And they have full permission to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and how loving is that? The thing is, it's not loving to let people continue in things that are going to destroy them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing, is that you go, your silence is unloving if you're seeing me walk in sin and you're not willing to correct it because you don't want to have an awkward conversation. Yeah. I just go, brother, come up and say it. And you know what? Correcting and confronting stuff, dude, conflict's difficult.
It is.
There's nothing fun about it. But
not
it's
for us Enneagram 8s, Dale.
But nothing.
Right, right. Yeah. Me and Audrey will come correct you.
No.
Yeah. But nothing worth having is at the end of, you know, an easy ride. So.
Yeah. No, that's.
Well, guys, thanks for sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for being so transparent about your struggles, too. And I know there's a lot of people listening that are going through similar hard trials, whether it's miscarriages or sickness or health issues with kiddos, and feel seen and heard is encouraging. So
yeah, we're happy to share. It's not our story, it's the Lord's story. So he can use it however he wants to, and we're happy to share it.
Yeah.
Yes,
thanks for having us here.
Your love letter life.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Dale, you're writing a book right now. What else are you guys doing? Or is that a secret?
Yeah, no, it's good. We're good. I have a book. You know, I just put a book out a couple years ago called Saved from Success.
Which if you have not read that, it's a super short, quick read, packed full. You didn't waste any space in that book.
No, that book is just really intense about measuring the distance between the gap between I'm Christian and I believe in the Bible, and then look at my life. Actually, it's very different. And so it's closing the gap of that. And my story about being saved from America's version of success.
It's 100 pages.
Yeah. It's super short. It's really easy. It's bold.
Saved from success.
The book that I'm working on now that comes out in a couple, probably about 2 months from now, it's called Real Christianity, How to Be Bold for Christ in a Culture of Darkness. And this is, again, just going measuring like what we have kind of claimed the Christian faith is against scripture, going like, do you really follow Jesus according to what scripture says? Because man, I think a lot of us have been sold into a gospel and sold into an understanding of Christianity that actually has very little to do with the Bible. Mm. And so I really tackle that idea, the gap again between cultural Christianity and biblical Christianity. And so we're excited for that. You know, we do our weekly podcast, which is just Real Christianity. And we get a lot of time to kind of vent about these trials and talk about them and discuss the lessons. And that's really what we're doing as a ministry right now. It's just a lot of teaching, a lot of writing.
Yeah. Which your guys' podcast is awesome. And if anyone's looking for some real good in-depth conversations, on some really tough topics that are really well thought out. You guys really think those out.
Thank you.
In a really good way. So, Real Christianity. Yeah. You guys have a great podcast.
Thank you.
Where else can we find you?
Instagram is probably our main jam. You know, I feel like everything else is like, who knows what's going to happen with Facebook.
I'm never on.
Yeah.
You know, but Instagram's our main jam. And you know, it's just at Dale Partridge and at Veronica.
Veronica I. Partridge.
She used to have her name, but then she deleted her Instagram years ago.
And never got it back.
Never got it back.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? That's true.
Yeah.
What?
So, but crazy. We're there. We post there. Veronica's really good at Instagram stories. They're really funny.
I hardly ever post photos, but I post a lot of stories.
So, that's
all the stories of the kids.
The feed's
kind of
getting a little, lethargic now, I feel.
Yeah, right? I know. So
cool.
That's good.
Well,
okay,
you guys,
well, love, yeah, you guys.
It was a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
See ya.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
All right. Oh, something in my throat there.
Start over.
No, we're not going to start over. We got to keep Greg in. All right, Dale and Veronica. Now you don't know what to say.
No, leave it. Don't start over.
I can't now. Now we're committed.
Okay.
So, Dale and Veronica, lots of amazing things to say, full of wisdom, both of them. And I just appreciate them a lot. I think they're very committed, and they offer mm-hmm. a lot of great, healthy perspective. Mm-hmm. And they're really just on fire and in pursuit. So,
and I think Jared and I get a lot of questions all the time from you guys about house church and what that looked like in community. And we talk about our community in Bend and our community here all the time. And people are like, how do you find that? And just what does that look like? And we kind of dive into that a little bit in this episode, but we want to maybe have Dale and Veronica back on to unpack that a little bit more too, just because
definitely.
I know a lot of you have been interested in that, you know, maybe for later this year, since we're mm-hmm. trying to focus more on marriage and relationships in this season of the podcast. But
yeah, but if you follow Relearn Church, you know, on the socials or whatever, or the website, you can get a lot of that content there. So
that's all for today.
All right. Well, we will talk to you guys in a couple days. As always, if you share the podcast on your Instagram stories, tag me, Audrey, and Behind the Scenes Podcast. We buy 5 of you coffee every single week.
And if you've been a longtime listener, you've been listening from the beginning, or you just started listening and you're binge listening, please take a second to just, if you never have, go hit the 5 stars review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Or leave a review.
Just leave a review. And let us know what you think about the podcast, how it's helped you, encouraged you, challenged you, what you loved about it. Just let us know. It's super, super helpful for us. It helps us get better guests on the show, which then in turn helps you. So take a second to leave a review if you never have, especially if you're a longtime listener.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you in a couple days.
Bye.